I guess the first thing that I need to do this morning is to let you know that I bring you greetings and the love of many people from Alabama, and Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, Ohio. They have enjoyed the blessings of God and would like to have you all know that they appreciate the prayers that they know has been offered for the needs that they have. I guess the thing that kind of stands out to me, they are beginning to more effectively feel a membership in a family. The family of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a family. And I hope we all feel that familyhood. I'll begin reading this morning from the 10th chapter of St. John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I guess I'm going to break into the thought a little bit. A thought comes to mind that comes from the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi. And to kind of let you know how this breaks in, Jesus had been teaching these people. He had come and they were there at Zarahemla. And then after spending one day with them in teaching, he left and told them he'd be back tomorrow. And he wanted them to go and prepare things. And once again, this is interesting to me. Now, I realize that there had been a great storm. But they once again, as they gather themselves together, they don't gather in a building. They gather in the open air, and they bow themselves down upon the ground. Now, I'm not saying that's what we have to do. I'm just saying the emphasis that God seems to put on things is the emphasis of what is in the heart and how we bow ourselves down and come to Him. I'll start at verse 4 in chapter 9 in 3rd Nephi on page 654. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the multitude had gathered together, behold, Nephi and his brother, whom he had raised from the dead, whose name was Timothy, and also his son, whose name was Jonas, and also Mathani, and Mathanaha, his brother, and Cumen, and Cumanahai, and Jeremiah, and Shemnon, and Jonas, and Zedekiah, and Isaiah. Now these were the names of the disciples whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass that they went forth and stood in the midst of the multitude. Behold, the multitude was so great that they did cause that they should be separated into 12 bodies. And the 12 did teach the multitude. And behold, they did cause that the multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth and should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt down again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. So I guess the reason that I would like to emphasize that this morning, this first reading that I have read to you about recognizing the voice of the shepherd. The adversary of our souls, that we call the devil and Satan, would wish to cloud each person's mind such that the clear thinking that is needed to recognize a voice that is familiar and understand it, to keep a clear mind, is a thing that is ensured by the Almighty. And that being true, the Holy Spirit is a very necessary ingredient in the midst of this. They prayed for it back there. It was the thing they most desired because they wanted to know what was true. And that's what we want to know. I'm going to go ahead now, and I hope that we all recognize right away that this good shepherd that we talk about is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we don't, let's give it clear consideration. I'm going to read from the third chapter of Galatians now. I'm going to read a little lengthy here because I think the thought that Paul, our brother Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, it clarifies an issue that you all may have very clear in your mind. And if you do, forgive me for going over it again. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having made perfect... Let me read that again, or start verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would thus justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that ye might perceive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. And I guess I read this so that I could use our brother Paul's testimony and description of the situation, so that as I would describe things to you, it would not be only my own words to you. That the law did not bring man to Christ or to God, except to point the way that he was coming in another time. But even in that time back then, and I'm going to read now the testimony of one called Enos. I'll start at verse 1. It's on page 194. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language, and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you know that is a testimony that any father would be everlastingly thankful to hear. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God before that I received a remission of my sins. And if you'll notice, back in the law, They have all these sacrifices and burnt offerings that they are giving as a following of the commandments of God. But oddly enough, there's no mention in them that you do this to have your sins forgiven. There are offerings given for the sins of the people by the high priest, but there's nothing there that says that they're forgiven because of that. There is an offering given for them so that they can come to God. And now as you go on here, and of course you realize that this was many years before the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words that I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sunk deep into my heart, and my soul hungered. And I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him, yea, and when the night came, I did raise my voice high, that it might reach the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed." And the interesting thing that he asked next is very striking to me. "And I saith, Lord, how is it done?" And he saith unto me, "Because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen." And many years pass away before he shall manifest himself into the flesh, in the flesh. Go to it, thy faith hath made thee whole. And this is the emphasis that Paul was trying to strike a chord in our minds with. Salvation comes through Christ by faith in him, according to the promise. That's what he's trying to say over and over. So I hope that we can clearly understand that these things are given for our profit, for our learning, so that we can walk with our hands in the hand of God. And this is the reason why our brothers so many years ago wrote in 2 Nephi in the 4th chapter, focusing back on this Christ, in verses 3 and 4 on page 163 in chapter 14 in 2 Nephi. "And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ shall tell you all things what ye should do." And people will say, "Well, I need to study all the rest of these things also." I'm not trying to guide you into not studying the other things, about all the other things that God's people are going to do. But I would like to emphasize the last phrase of what is being said here. Well, it's more than a phrase. "For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do." So what is required of you, how you should act, what you should do, how you should behave, how you should treat your brother and your sister, how you should feel about them. All of those things, Christ's words bear on. They guide you into what you are supposed to do as a person. That doesn't mean that he is saying here, well, you can't look at anything else. He's saying, if you want to know what to do, go to the Word of Christ. If there's a situation that you run into and you don't know how to act, like I do so many times, get up and my words begin to stumble over themselves. The words of Christ will tell you what to do. Calm down. Have faith in me. The promises I have made. The way of salvation. Just why I have been so impressed to read the next thing that I'm going to read. I'm not quite certain. It's a lengthy thing. It's a prophecy. But it has a bearing on what we're supposed to be doing today, and we are doing as a church. I heard on the news the other day, they were interviewing several different people, and as you all know, that when you send out a questionnaire on how you feel on an issue, unless you write an essay-type answer to the question sometimes is stated in such a way that if you answer it yes or no, it doesn't give your true feelings, or if you answer it yes, well, it makes it look like you believe some things that you don't. I guess I've run into this a great many times, and I'm sure you have. And the same thing happened when the news person was asking the question and the response of this young man, and he said he didn't think we belonged in Iraq because he didn't think we were supposed to inflict our way of thinking on those people. Now, I'm not trying to make a political issue of this, but the thing of it is, are we there? There's two things that we can do there. The fact is, we are there. We've gotten things up to this point. Now, are we going to allow them, encourage them, support them, even in a way guide them into being able to establish a freedom-type government in which all the people of the land are given a voice in the way the government is run in that country? Not change their religion, just set up something so that everyone has a voice. He doesn't have some dictator telling them he has to behave this way, he has to think this way. This is the difference. We're not trying to say to them they have to have a Christian government. We're not even saying to them that they have to have a Muslim-type government. We're just saying to them, establish a government where all the people in your country have a voice in that government. Which, in a way, because of the way our God has done things, pushes the idea that all of us cling to, that we have a right of free choice in all the things that we do. Now I'll get back to this. I'll start at verse 37 on page 142. No, I'm going to back up to the 30th verse on the previous page. Wherefore he shall bring forth his words unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day. For they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah who was rejected by them. And obviously this is talking about the things that the Jews did. And unto the convincing of them that they need not look forward any more for a Messiah to come. For there should not any come, save it should be a false Messiah, which should deceive the people. For there is save one Messiah spoken of by the prophets, and that Messiah is he which should be rejected of the Jews. For according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah cometh in 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem. And according to the words of the prophet, and also the word of the angel of God, his name shall be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now, my brethren, I would speak plain that ye cannot err. And as the Lord liveth, that brought Israel up out of the land of Egypt, and gave unto Moses power that he should heal the nations after that they had been bitten by the poisonous serpents, if they would cast their eyes unto the serpent, which he did raise up before them, and also gave him power that he should smite the rock, and the water should come forth. Yea, behold, I say unto you, that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me, that these things which I write shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand. Wherefore these things shall go forth from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and pleasure of God. And the nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them. And I guess this is one of the points I would like to draw to our mind. I hold this in my hand. And so I'd like to read over that last little bit. And the nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written. And we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children, and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we keep the law of Moses and look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. Wherefore we speak concerning the law, that our children may know the deadness of the law. And they, by knowing the deadness of the law, may look forward unto that life which is in Christ, and know for what end the law was given. And after that the law is fulfilled in Christ, that they need not harden their hearts against him, when the law had ought to be done away. And now behold, my people, ye are a stiff-necked people. Wherefore I have spoken plain unto you that ye cannot misunderstand. And the words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you, for they are sufficient to teach any man the right way. For the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not. For by denying him ye also deny the prophets and the law. And now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, and Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore you must bow down before him and worship him with all your might, mind, and strength, and your whole soul. And if you do this, he shall in no wise be cast out. And inasmuch as it shall be expedient, you must keep the performances and ordinances of God until the law shall be fulfilled, which was given unto Moses. And after that Christ hath risen from the dead, he shall shew himself unto you, my children, and my beloved brethren. And the words which he shall speak unto you shall be the law which he shall do. For behold, I say unto you that I have beheld that many generations shall pass away, and there shall be great wars and contentions among my people. And after that the Messiah shall come, there shall be signs given unto my people of his birth, and also of his death and resurrection. And great and terrible shall that day be unto the wicked, for they shall perish. And they perish because they cast out the prophets and the saints, and stone them and slay them. Wherefore the cry of the blood of the saints shall ascend up to God from the ground against them. Wherefore all they that are proud and that do wickedly, the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, for they shall be as stubble. And they that kill the prophets and the saints, the depths of the earth shall swallow them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And the mountains shall cover them, and the whirlwind shall carry them away, and buildings shall fall upon them, and crush them to pieces, and grind them to powder. And they shall be visited with thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes and all manner of destruction. For the fire of the anger of the Lord shall be kindled against them, and they shall be as stubble, and the day that cometh shall consume them, saith the Lord of hosts. O, the pain and the anguish of my soul for the loss of the slain of my people. For I, Nephi, have seen it, and it well nigh consumeth me before the presence of the Lord. But I must cry unto my God, thy ways are just. But behold, the righteous that hearken unto the words of the prophets and destroy them not, but look forward unto Christ with steadfastness, for the signs which are given, notwithstanding all persecution, behold, they are they which shall not perish. But the Son of Righteousness shall appear unto them, and he shall heal them, and they shall have peace with him, until three generations shall pass away, and many of the fourth shall have passed away in righteousness. And when these things shall have passed away, a speedy destruction cometh unto my people, for notwithstanding the pains of my soul, I have seen it. Wherefore I know that it shall come to pass. And they sell themselves for naught, for the reward of their pride and their foolishness they shall reap destruction. For because they yield unto the devil and choose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell, for the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then come a speedy destruction, and this grieveth my soul. And as I spake concerning the convincing of the Jews that Jesus is the very Christ, if it needs be that the Gentiles be convinced also that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, and that he manifesteth himself unto all they that believe in him by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, you want to know why it was these people had the desire, the thing they most desired, was to have that Holy Ghost. That is the power of the Spirit of God that comes to us, that opens our eyes to the truth and the brightness of the light that the Lord Jesus Christ had come and spread forth in this earth to enlighten the minds of man that they might know the true and right way. Yea, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, working mighty miracles, signs, and wonders among the children of men according to their faith. But behold, I prophesy unto you concerning the last days, concerning the days when the Lord shall bring these things forth unto the children of men. After that my seed and the seed of my brethren shall have dwindled in unbelief, and shall have been smitten by the Gentiles. Yea, after that the Lord God shall have camped against them round about, and they shall have laid siege against them, with a mount, and raised forts against them. And after that they have been brought down low in the dust, even that they are not, yet the words of the righteous shall be written, and the prayers of the faithful shall be heard. And all they which have dwindled in unbelief shall not be forgotten. For they which shall be concerning them, even as it were out of the ground, and their speech shall whisper out of the dust. For thus saith the Lord God, they shall write the things which shall be done among them, and they shall be written and sealed up in a book. And they that have dwindled in unbelief shall not have them, for they seek to destroy the things of God. Wherefore, as they have been destroyed speedily, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be chaff that passeth away. Yea, thus saith the Lord God, it shall be at an instant, suddenly. It goes on into some things there. I want to turn over now into the next chapter. I'll start reading at verse 18 on page 154. No, I'm going to back up just a little here. I'm breaking in, of course, in the middle of a prophecy. I'll start at verse 13 on page 153. Yea, they have all gone out of the way. They have become corrupted because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrine. Their churches have become corrupted, and their churches are lifted up because of pride. They are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads. And because of pride and wickedness and abomination and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. And you want to remember something in the midst of this. God has said in His Word that He gives us weaknesses so that we may be humble. And you want to remember what it says here. They've all gone astray. Now, of course, that's a qualified statement as we see as we go on. It says, save it be a few which are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err because they are taught by the precepts of men. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all they that preach false doctrines, and all they that commit whoredoms and pervert the right ways of the Lord, woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake. And note this next verse. You wonder, I guess in the midst of this, I'm going to emphasize that God doesn't do anything. Anytime. Without the intent that he may touch the hearts of the people of this world to help them see what's true and right. Sometimes they won't see it, but that's his reason for doing it. To get their attention so that they will see the things he's trying to show them. Beginning at verse 23 again. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must need be stirred up unto repentance. Or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. We are having demonstrations throughout the world, in this good old United States as well. Now, people angry, raging in the streets, they do. What do we talk about? They say, well, when does this happen, brother? Well, how about road rage? Some well-intended, maybe elderly person going down the road, he's the only one there, but he's being cautious. And somebody else is in a hurry, and it's really, this fella has no business being in front of him to hold him up and in his progress of being able to get to where he wants to go. And so he's really upset about it. And so the first thing you know, as we've seen, he whirls around, and where did he get that gun? And it's not that I'm against guns, but he has a gun and does not have the maturity to know what to do with it. He just pulls it out and shoots into that other car. The police have reported actions like this in our very city. These are things that we need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, when it says, you know, read his word, he'll tell you all things what you should do. That's not one of them, is it? And so this is the thing we need to truly recognize. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no return. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith, must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. And I guess I'd like to ask you a question, as I ask myself, why does it say that we are not supposed to be at ease in Zion? All of the writers in the scriptures, if you read their words carefully, they give you a description of how they have behaved and the assurance that God has given them that they're doing the right things. But like Paul says, the race isn't over until it's over. Or maybe that's not the words that he used, but just stop and think about what he's talking to us. You have to finish the race. Then you can be assured of what the decision will be. If you stop the race in the middle, you don't get the prize. You still have a time to go. So I guess I'm going to divide it up this way. As long as there's breath in this body, as long as you're breathing in and out, enjoying the miracle of the breath that God has given you. Because as King Benjamin has described to us, this is a blessing to us, and it comes from God. I've had some people, of course, and so have you, say, well, that's one of the things that's just, you know, that's part of being alive. Well, that's true. Now it comes back to another thing. Wherever we go, whatever we do, our beliefs are going to be a part of the way we behave, what we say, how we respond, the discussions that we get into, the comments that we make. If you believe in this Lord Jesus Christ, it will not be to the intent of offending anyone, but that will be in your conversation. It will be in your thinking. And as you go about this, you will be teaching in that way, even though you don't maybe call yourself a teacher. Whoever you contact. It may or may not be that I think we ought to be in Iraq. But we are there. And it is my prayer that our people who are there, when they discuss things with the locals there, in their conversation, it will be apparent in a non-offensive way that they believe in Jesus Christ and that their faith in Him is founded in truth. It is my prayer that all of our people, though they be maybe not all righteous people, but our soldiers, as they go there, will leave that impression upon the people of the land. You say, brother, why would you want that? Well, I'll tell you about a conversation I had with a beloved brother many years ago. And it just kind of dawned on me at the time that he was talking that he was determined to let his children make their own decisions on what they believed and how they were going to conduct their lives. My brother's showing me here that it's time for me to quit, and I won't take very long. And I turned to him and I said, "What are you teaching your children?" He said, "Well, are you teaching them about Jesus Christ and the creation and all of these things?" "No. I'm going to let them decide whether they want to believe that or not." So I asked him, "Brother, How can they decide when they don't know about it? You send them to school and they get all exposed to all of these other ideologies. And if you don't give them this, you yourself, they have nothing to decide between. And I guess the thing that surprised me, and I've run into it many times since, and it's made me so I'm less judgmental of my brothers and sisters, because he was probably much more intelligent than I. But this thought had never entered his mind. It just had never crossed his mind that he had to do that, or they didn't have anything to evaluate on one hand and on the other. So I hope this thought can come to you clearly. Teach your children about Jesus Christ. I'm sure you are. I've talked to many of you. And in the midst of this, I would like to give once again my great thanksgiving to you that you came here, you courteously listened. As I go through these things, talking about them, I guess each time that I do, it renews the thrill of my soul. Thank you for giving me that opportunity.